Though, if you really want, we're really spending most of our time in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But that's right a couple pages back, so you'll be right there. Talking about standing strong in the struggle, right? And we're all on journeys in this life, and we all struggle for solutions to our struggles. You're wondering, what's with the staircase? Well, there was a survey that was done, and apparently this was talked about at some meeting in England, so they probably talked about it in a bad English accent. And it's like rolling her eyes at my poor English accent. I said, a home accident survey, Terry Thomas is who it is, movies, yeah. A home accident survey showed that 90% of accidents on staircases involved either the top or the bottom stair. This information, they needed to find out the solution. So this information was fed into the computer to analyze how they could reduce this problem. The computer's answer? Remove the bottom and top stairs. Some of you thought that was funny. Others of you have a decent sense of humor. Sometimes we think we need to really think things through, and we got to be the smart ones in the room. And sometimes our answers are like that, sometimes not. Other times the answers to our problems are just right there, and we're very stuck in our old ways. How many people have seen people carrying water on their heads? Pictures of that, probably not personally. Maybe some of you personally. Generation after generations, water was not piped in. It didn't turn on a faucet in many, many third world countries. You had to take your bucket, walk half a mile, sometimes miles for people, fill it up with water in a stream, put it back on your head, and carry it back. How many people have seen something like this on the right? You know what we use those for? Flattening our lawn. Exactly, Adam. Yeah, we just fill them up with water, and we walk after we've watered the lawn or it's rained, and it smooths out the bumps in our lawn. How long have those been around, do you think? Yeah, at least. I mean, this has been around a long time. It's probably back early part of last century. This is not rocket science, right? Somebody came up with the idea and said, wait a minute, there's an easier way for people that have been doing something for generations. You can roll your water rather than carrying it. What a concept. How important do you think that was to the people that were used to carrying gallons of water on their heads? They were probably like, you've got to be kidding me, you can do this? They were probably going crazy. What a great idea. Well, the helmet of salvation is what our focus is on. This is going to cause some of us to just recognize, I need to, one, either stop trying to figure it out myself, or two, stop carrying their own sins. Stop trying to fix your own problems, because there's a better way, and you can't do it anyway. And so we just have to be sometimes listen. We have to either hear the good news or be reminded of the good news that there is a better way. Let's stand together as we read our verse. That verses we'll be focusing on. Revisit a little bit some of the verses we've already talked about, as well as the one we'll be focusing on today. Let's read together. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Father, I remember as a new believer how impactful this verse was when I finally first understood it. remember Chuck Duncan teaching it in a Sunday school, and it was like, ding, the lights went on. I'm like, oh, I got it. And thank you, Father. I pray that it does the same thing in the hearts and minds of all of us today and awakens us to the grace and faith that is part of the journey of salvation that we're called to walk. So bless our time in your word today. We pray it in Jesus' name, and amen. Maybe you see them. See, we were created in love for salvation. We were created to make a journey through life with God, not alone, but following Him in faith. That's what we were designed for. And relationships involve a few things. They involve person A knowing who person B is, right? And person B also knowing person A, right? There's a knowledge and an understanding of one another that are just required for there to be a relationship together. Once you begin to understand one another, you can begin to journey together in a relationship. But this relationship with God is a relationship of salvation. What does it mean to be saved? What does that word mean? That's where our verse that we're going to focus on says, "For it is by grace you have been saved." So what does that mean? We're gonna look at something that I want you to think about. If you've got your faith journals, write this down, draw it out, because as important as it is for you to get it, as believers, it's equally important that you understand it in such a way that you can give it. This is a simple way of being able to share about what it means to be saved. I'm going to have a look at it a few different ways. Big picture. Started off, there was God, who is, what's the F, S, and H, S, what do you think? Yeah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God, right? Not three personalities, three persons, one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before time began, were in eternity in relationship together. They were in perfect union, perfect relationship together. And when they created us, how did they create man? Right, in God's image. God said, let us create man in our image. That's the actual wording. That's where we get some of the Trinitarian understanding in the Old Testament. Let us create man in our image. And so he created us for relationship, just as he was in relationship together with Father, Son, and Spirit. Inside of us all, there is this hope, this need, this desire for relationship. And more importantly, for relationship with the one who created us. For relationship with God. If you read or want to pick up our Faith Steps brochure here about becoming a Christian, it talks about that God-shaped hole in all of our hearts that we all have. And there's only one that can fill that God-shaped hole. Obviously, it's God, right? And all of us have this need, this desire to know that there is something bigger than us, something that is beyond what we see, something that as we approach eternity and approach death, that there's something more than just living our lives, and once we're done, we become so much more molecules and atoms in the ground. There was something more to us. We all have that hope. And quite honestly, we're all, whether we are good at hiding it or not, we're all bothered to some degree when we are like this with the Creator. And we're kind of pushing Him away. It bothers us. We struggle. We try to cover it up with all kinds of other things that make us feel good, but the reality is We all have this desire to be in relationship, and when we're pushing him away, it creates this tension, this conflict in our lives. Well, our verse talks about grace and faith, right? That's where our sermon title is. Grace is unearned, undeserved love. It is kindness or favor that the person didn't do anything to do to earn it. It was given because the person who gave it wanted to. Nothing more. Grace is just undeserved, unmerited love and favor. And that's what God did. He created mankind. Why? Because God is love. Right. God is love. And he did it because by his own choice. And that was grace. That was God's grace. And he created us for relationship with himself. Again, that's part of God was a God of relationship. He created us for relationship with him. The other part of this is faith. We talked about that last week. Faith is simply belief or trust or loyalty to a person or thing unseen. I'm not sure why the favor and unseen ended up landing on the other side of the screen, but sometimes PowerPoint doesn't cooperate. So it's loyalty, belief. It's just a trust in this one that we can't see. That's what faith is. It is like a baby to a mother or father. They are completely, totally dependent on the parent as a little one. There's nothing that they can do to earn love. In fact, they do lots of things not to earn love, right? They cry in the middle of the night. They spit up all over the place. They poop. All these things that babies do that do not make us happy. But you know what? They're our babies, so we love them. We love them right where they are. They don't have to earn our love. They have it, okay? But faith is a trust, isn't it? The baby has to have complete trust that mom and dad are going to take care of me. Oh, here comes the bottle. I'm hungry. Mom's bringing me a bottle. Guessing it's good for me. I hope it's not poison. No, they don't wonder about that. They trust. Dad's taking care of me. Mom's taking care of me. That's the faith part, is saying, yep, I don't have to do anything. My mom, my dad loves me. And I just have to trust them by eating what they give me, listening to them when they tell me to do something, following when they give direction or they go somewhere. I trust them. That's the faith part. Well, here's the other. The baby mother or father analogy is a great way of understanding that, but it doesn't tell the whole story, does it? Analogies always tell a part of the story. There's no analogy that completely explains something. So you have to move on from it. We have a choice in faith, don't we? I guess a baby could say, nope, I don't want the bottle, and refuse it to the point of never eating. I suppose a child could do that. Well, we've done that. We walked away. And whether you call it we rejected God, we denied him, we loved self more than God, we chose our way instead of God's way, the Bible just calls it what? Sin. Yeah, very simple. Doing my will instead of God's will, right? But Isaiah 59, chapter 2, says that our sin separates us from God. It separates us from God. It puts us in a different relational place, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we're separated from God. We decided to make our journey in life, the life that he gave us, we decided to make it ours and go it alone, without him. Not doing it the way he wanted, not listening to him. Because, see, God doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't make us, robots that I can't do the robot thing. He doesn't make us that way, does he? He gives us What does he give us? Free will. He gives us the ability to choose. Because without free will, there is really no way for us to love him. Love is a choice. And if it's not a choice, then it's not love. It's just us doing what we have to do. So he doesn't force us to trust him. And we go our own way, thinking, just like Satan always tempts us, that we'll be happier going our way than God's way. Somehow, Satan gets us to believe that, yeah, God's holding out on you. Remember that from last week? He knows if you do this, then it's really gonna be good, and he just wants to hold out the good stuff. He wants you to give you something less. That's Satan always uses the same stories. And we've believed it, and we end up finding that Satan's promises lead to unhappiness, emptiness, ultimately spiritual death. This is where we realize that something's wrong. This is where we realize, all right, I'm in an empty place here, and I'm without God. Some will try to fill that empty hole in their hearts with all kinds of things. There's many things to choose from in life, isn't there? Oh, my heavens. There's a never-ending... So I got an invitation. You get weird invitations on Facebook. To some sort of a concert thing for young people, and they pour like suds and foam all over them. I'm like, what on earth is this? One, why did I get an invitation? Two, what on earth is it? There are endless amounts of things that we can entertain ourselves with. And there's just a never-ending supply of them. We try to fill this empty hole in our hearts with something. And guess what happens when we get sick of having suds and foam dumped on us? Guess what we're going to do? Find something else. And guess what the world will provide? Something else. Has there ever been a time when the world hasn't said, ooh, I got a new thing for you? Always. Oh, and as technology has exploded, there's never-ending supplies. So we try to entertain ourselves with money, entertainment, relationships, just all kinds of things that we try to fill that hole. Careers, hobbies, all kinds of things. Others will try to restore that relationship with God. And they'll think, oh, I need God in my life. I need to have this connection with something bigger than me. And unfortunately, our sin still separates us from God. We're still separated because of our sin. Our sin is our problem. It's not our desire. It's our sin. That's the problem that separates us. And this was me in my earlier years. We try to build a bridge of being good enough, of whatever things we try to do. But sin, all of our good deeds, we also add to them what? Our sins. And our attempts to build a bridge back to God just break down. They break down. We can't fix ourselves. So whether it's our good works, because I'm a really nice person, I'm a nice person. Of course God wants me back in relationship. I'm a really nice guy. Now, along with my niceness is my sin. My sin is still my problem. It's my sin that separates me from God. So whether it's helping others or whatever it might be, I can't fix my sin problem. We've tried to plug it into the computers of our days. The latest and greatest authors, TV show hosts, whatever. Everybody's coming up with solutions to our problem that we know there's a hole in our hearts. There's something wrong here. We've even tried to hang on to our do-it-yourself traditions. Right? We'll keep carrying our sins on our heads. If I go to church, if I'm a good person, and if I give tithe and I do all these things, and somehow that's going to build a bridge back to God, but that doesn't do any better, does it? we can't fix ourselves. It's an impossible problem with a really simple solution. Isn't that good to hear? I'm not sure if you're hearing yourself in this as somebody who has tried to work your way back to God, tried to be a good person, thinking that that was what was going to make me acceptable to God. Or you just feel like, I've been away from God and I just don't know how to reconnect with Him. Remember where our relationship with God started, because that's where it starts again. It really does. What does our verse say? For it is what? By grace that you've been saved. Through what? Through faith. Yeah, it said, it's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. No one's going to stand before God and say, okay, God, I did this and I did that and I've gone to church and I did all these things. Nobody's going to be able to stand before God and boast and say, this is how you will accept me. Nobody. It's a gift, and we either have to receive it or we don't. It's by grace. Grace is that undeserved favor. It's the gift given that you didn't do anything to earn. Grace and faith are still the same solution as we had at the very beginning. God in His grace created us, and in faith we just lived with Him in the Garden of Eden. We just received His goodness. But we chose to step out of faith when we sinned. And that's still the same. And God says, it's still the same solution. In grace, God has offered the cross. The cross is the picture of God's undeserved love for you, His undeserved favor. He said, you're in a bind. You're separated from me, and there's nothing you can do to fix yourself. But I love you. I love you so much that I'm going to come. I'm going to send my very own Son, who is sinless, and let Him take the punishment of sin. The punishment, what's the wages of sin? Death. I'm going to let my Son take your death upon Himself. Grace. God offered you this picture of grace. And He says, all you need do is in faith, believe, and trust, and come back via the cross into that beautiful relationship that God designed in the first place of His grace, our simple faith. That's the way He created us in the beginning, and that's available to every one of us today. It is by grace, God's goodness, that you've been saved through faith, believing, trusting. And this not of yourselves, it's a gift offered to you. Not of works, not of going to church, not of giving money to others, not of being nice. It's a gift, and not of works, so that no one can boast. Faith is the choice that I make. It's the choice that I make. I want to end with just, because as important as it is for you to understand that, it's equally important. Oh, you know what? I brought the whiteboard and I forgot to bring a marker. Would somebody grab me a marker? Somebody want to run for me and grab me a marker? There's probably one in the library. My apologies. I thought I brought everything and I almost did. I'll use the other one first. How do I share this? How do I share this with somebody? It's very simple. I want you to understand how simple the gospel is. I'm sitting there having lunch with somebody, and I'm telling them about my faith in Christ. Oh, bless you. Thank you. You're awesome. Thank you, brother. withdraw it first. I want you to have how understand how simple this is. So I'm writing this on a napkin. Saying, you know how I came to my relationship with God? I realized that God created me for a relationship, and that's where I was. And I'm just going to make me the little stick figure. But there's a problem, because I know it, you know it, we all know it. We walk away from God and we do things our own way. We do things our own way. And I found out that that was my problem. I remember as a new believer, or before I was a new believer, I was struggling with life. I was trying to figure out how to make life work, how to make a relationship with Terry work, that relationships weren't my strong suit back in that time. But, you know, we were having these conversations, and God was revealing to me more and more that the problem was with me. And I realized one day that I understood that I was here. And there was something certainly separating me from God. I was on my own, and I was struggling to make life work. And I remember as Terry and I began to attend Allen Road Missionary Church, and I began to have my eyes opened, that I was the problem. It wasn't everybody else. I was the problem. And yet at the same time, that God was the solution, and that he loved me, and he had a way forward for me. And I realized that I can still remember sitting there in the car with Terry talking about this and saying, I can't believe that God would love somebody like me, because I know me. I was a nice guy, but I had my reasons, and they were for my own self. And I realized God knows me. He knows me inside and out, and he sees what I see. But it was then that I also realized that he loved me. And I realized that he made a way for me. There, he made a solution for the mess that was in my heart. And all I needed to do was to trust and believe in him and ask him to forgive me. And I remember walking away that day and realizing I can know God. I can know the Father, and he's going to guide me and lead me and direct me and help me and empower me. I'm like, take everything about life and rethink it, because all of a sudden it's all changed. It was all different. My life was turned upside down. Thank the Lord, because it was upside down to begin with. God turned it right side up. Thank the Lord. And I realized this. And I realized also that I was no longer that, but I was where God intended me to be, with him, because of the cross. That's how you share the gospel. Say you're sitting at lunch and you're saying, sharing the same thing. You know, let me tell you how I began to really understand how I can have a relationship with God. You know, let's just pretend that this is God, the water, living water, whatever you want. It's bigger than me. And this is me. And I realized at some point in time that I had sinned. I had really gone my own way, and I had made a mess out of my life, and I was struggling to make it work. And I didn't know that God was somebody that loved me unconditionally and wanted to forgive me and wanted to change my life. But then I came to a place where God taught me that. He showed me that through some other people. But I had this problem. And you can pick up a dirty plate or a dirty napkin and throw it in the middle. I had a sin problem. There was yucky sin stuff separating me from God, and I didn't know how to fix that. But then someone told me that someone fixed it for me. And You know? Jesus came and made a way so he could do what I couldn't do for myself. And because he died in my place, I was able to be restored in my relationship with God. See how simple it is? It's a simple visual picture of God and me, my sin, my sin separating me from God, God and his love dying on the cross, allowing me to come back and be in relationship with God. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith in the cross and what Jesus did. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of my own goodness, so no one can boast. So, I'm just going to close in prayer, and I want you to just take a moment to think. Either one, have I never heard that that is how I become a Christian? Have I never understood that it was not by how good I was, but it was by what Jesus did for me that I can have a relationship with God? If that's you, and this is your first, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't grasp that. Today, decide to trust in Jesus to forgive you and allow God to welcome you into his gracious arms as his son or his daughter. Make that simple decision of faith to let him change your life radically. Or maybe you've been in church for a long, long time and you've kind of been doing all the right stuff thinking that if I don't do this, then I'm not saved. And you're realizing, you know what? It's not the stuff. That's the broken bridge. It is the cross and the cross alone. It's Jesus in whom I have to put my faith. And I don't have to work and try and make it all this, that, and everything else to try to earn my way back to God. But I just need to go and trust in the cross of Christ. Does that mean that we stay babies? No, in fact, that verse continues saying, what is it? It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So, yeah, he has more for us to do as all babies are supposed to grow, but that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Let's take a moment and just bow our heads. I'm just going to give you a moment to say, to talk to the Lord. Say, "Lord, where am I?" Choose to walk with him in faith today if you haven't. Choose to depend on the cross and not on your works if you've had your faith in the wrong place. Or choose to walk and just remain in his grace if this is where you've been. With your heads bowed, if there is some here that have determined that today I have to make that choice, I'm putting my faith in Christ and I haven't done this before, I want to begin this new walk with him, I want you to raise your hand right where you are and say, "Yep, today my faith is in Jesus and the cross." Maybe your faith has been in good works. Maybe your faith has been in doing the right things. Today you're saying, "I want to put my hope and my faith in Jesus." Just raise your hand. Well, then, the rest of us here, I want you to take this very simple gospel presentation. It's yours now. Lord, help us to take this and look for those ways that we can share what you've done in our lives so that they might have that same decision, the same experience of walking with you. Bless us, each one, Lord God, as we go. Thank you for giving us this gift of the gospel, and thank you for giving us this very simple way that each and every one of us can give this gift to somebody else. Open up doors, Holy Spirit, to someone in our lives, one person this year that we can share Christ with, and we'll thank you for providing everything we need to walk in that as we share the gospel with them. All this we're trusting you for and asking in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen.